The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Winter 2020 issue of Lion Magazine. And we're going to begin today with our President's message entitled, We're Different, We're the Same. Greetings, Lions. We talk a lot about serving our community as Lions. Service is best when it is personal and close to home and when it enriches our relationship with our neighbors. But now, as the world becomes smaller, the space between our communities grows smaller, too. Sometimes we focus on how different another culture is, how their food is flavored, how they dress, how they celebrate, or how they mourn. But while the diversity of cultures across the world is truly astounding, what I've learned from my years as a Lion is how much we are all the same. We all want the same things. We want to have safe, warm homes. We want to feed and clothe our families and have good schools for our children. We want health care when we're sick. And at some point, all of us need a helping hand of some kind. This is why I say we need to be ready to look at our global community to see if there is work to be done. Unfortunately, there are areas with great need that do not have Lions clubs. Or, if they do have clubs, the clubs do not have the resources required to address the great need. This is where Lions can truly make a difference. We can stand together and reach out to our neighbor countries, our neighbor continents, our brothers and our sisters on other sides of the world to give help where it's needed most. Lions in Korea have partnered with Lions in Japan to build schools in needy areas of Nairobi. Scandinavian and European Lions have banded together to provide aid to refugees in Turkey. These communities of Lions and many more like them have looked beyond their borders to see how they can serve. When we treat the world as one global community, the differences between us seem less important than what makes us the same. We are different, and we are also the same. Sincerely, Dr. Jung-Yul Choi, International President of Lions Clubs International. And next, from our Global Service Department, a couple short stories. The first one is from the USA, entitled A Heartfelt Gift to Families in Need. In the summer of 2019, the doors to Heartfelt House opened in Springfield, Oregon, offering affordable lodging to out-of-town families of patients at the newly constructed Peace Health Sacred Heart Medical Center at Riverbend. Among the more than 600 donors who contributed from $10 to $1 million are Lions. More than 20 Lions clubs in Oregon, along with LCIF, contributed $220,000 to the Heartfelt House, and Lion Ed Gear, who reached out to clubs throughout the southern and coastal Oregon, says he did not have to work hard to get Lion support. They just immediately started contributing and very much wanted to be part of it, says Gear. This is the second time Lions have come forward to support families of hospital patients in Oregon. In the late 1990s, the Eugene Downtown Lions Club spearheaded a fundraising campaign to provide a special guest house for the families of patients who had to stay for long periods of time at Sacred Heart Peace Health Hospital in downtown Eugene. A group of Oregon Lions clubs, with the help of $75,000 from LCIF, raised more than $280,000 to help establish the Children's Miracle Network, Lions Patient Family Guest House. But the house that was renovated with those funds was built in the 1920s, so upkeep was an ongoing issue, and the downtown hospital had no room to expand as needed. The Sacred Heart Peace Health Medical Center at Riverbend in nearby Springfield was planned. The Sacred Heart Medical Center Foundation, with the aid of the local Lions, began the $6 million U.S. capital campaign to construct this new house adjacent to the hospital complex. And the Eugene Downtown Lions led an effort that raised money from Lions clubs and individual Lions to match a $100,000 grant from LCIF. groundbreaking took place in April of 2018, and the new home opened in September. The guest house has a 10-room pediatric wing to house families of pediatric patients and babies in the neonative intensive care unit and a 10-room adult wing. It is a collaboration between Peace Health and Ronald McDonald House Charities, and guests pay nothing to a modest fee depending on their circumstances, but no one will be turned away because of their inability to pay. A guest house lessens the financial burden of being away from home, says Gear. Even more important, it can help ease the anxiety when a loved one needs hospital care. So much can't be controlled when a family member is in the hospital. This part is in our control. We can help provide a warm bed, a kitchen, and a place to let down. Next, from Finland, play together, stay together. Jure Kaladin Kiri, also known as Yuki, the largest youth soccer club in Sotkamo, Finland, has joined with the Sotkamo Lions Club to organize a free weekly sports activity available to everyone, locals and tourists alike, to help families stay connected and to increase physical fitness. With so much competing for our attention these days, it can be hard for families to find ways to be together that don't involve a screen. But research shows that families who keep active together not only improve their health, but also their bond. Sport and exercise psychologist Jocelyn Penna told the Sydney Morning Herald, "Although downtime is important, many people spend far too much time inactive. So when families exercise together, they gain the combined benefits of being together, growing together, and encouraging each other to be active." Last year, more than 100 children, parents, and grandparents participated in the Yuki Lions program, which they called a Lions Hour of Exercise with Your Child. The activity is designed for everyone, regardless of their ability or previous experience with organized sports. Most importantly, the collaboration makes it possible for all families to participate, regardless of their ability to pay. As an added bonus, families are finding new connections in the area, and tourists get to know local families. In 2018, the Yuki Soccer Club was awarded the annual Sports Award of the Year for promoting both outdoor and indoor soccer in the area for several years with outstanding results. Yuki is co-ed and has been growing every year. The club pays special attention to getting girls involved in soccer, and the partnership with Lions was acknowledged as, quote, a remarkable example of keeping children active and engaged. And now one of our feature articles, This Old House. Jay and Veronica McHugh had hundreds of people living around them but knew none of them. Their busy city life in Ottawa, Ontario, left them longing for a tighter-knit community where they could own a home, raise a family, and know their neighbors. With, quote, sheer ignorant ambition, says Jay, they decided to buy and renovate a 150-year-old log farmhouse in a quiet country town called Carlton Place. It was there when they eventually found their community. But it was Lions, part of an organization Jay knew only vaguely about, who opened their arms and helped them find it. 2 years after the McHughes moved into the house, they welcomed their first child, Peter. Jay stripped and re-chinked the outside, redid Peter's bedroom, and was knee-deep in building a new bathroom. The place was a mess, but they were making progress toward their dream. Then, their priorities took a quick turn. In July of 2015, just shy of his third birthday, Peter was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, also known as ALL. To make matters worse, with all the dust and exposed log walls, their house was not livable for someone with his condition. The McHughes were accepted into the Ottawa Ronald McDonald House near the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario, where Peter was receiving chemotherapy. Jay quit his sales job to spend the days at the hospital with Peter, while Veronica, a nurse, was working. On Fridays, he packed his bag and drove an hour home, where he played the role of a weekend warrior, bent on making their house livable while Veronica stayed with their son. For a year, she never went home. They learned to live life one day at a time. The renovations were just too extensive for them to think too hard about when they might return home as a family. But then, in January of 2016, the Carlton Place Lions and Robert Anderson and Roger Wills knocked at the door. "Okay, we'll help you get this going," they said. Staff at the Ronald McDonald House had reached out to the Lions seeking help for the family. While many people and companies had heeded the call, none were more involved than the Carlton Place Lions, says Jay. "I just remember after they came that night, I felt this great feeling. I was just looking to know my neighbors, and here they were offering to help me," says Jay. Anderson, a truck driver who lives about 5 miles up the road, and Lion Norman Larch, a retired carpenter, devoted every weekend throughout the winter to working on the McHugh house. "Well, yeah, I guess the summer too," says Anderson in retrospect. "It took longer than we thought, but that was okay because we just wanted to help and to do it right for them." About 15 Carlton Lions spent a weekend bringing the house down to bare bones and reframing it. Two Lions redid the electrical. Two others did the ductwork. A local plumber donated his service. "Before this, I only vaguely knew Lions as clubs that do volunteer work," says Jay. He had no idea the extent to which they truly changed lives. On July 25th, 2016, 1 year after their son's diagnosis, the McHughes came home with Peter. Jay asked the Lions how he could ever repay them. "Join the club," Anderson recalls telling him. "Help somebody else." Jay officially joined Lions on November 1st, 2016, and is now the club secretary. While in the throes of all of it, he had never taken time for a haircut. He couldn't be bothered. But in April, at a Lions District Convention in Cornwall, he shaved his head, donating his long hair to Hair Donations Ottawa and raising more than $4,500, which is equivalent to $3,382, for the oncology department at the hospital. "Peter is now 7 and doing well," his dad says. "The McHugh family has grown to include Elizabeth, who is 1. And every first and third Thursday, they all know that Dad goes to his Lions Club meeting. Most of the Lions are older, as is the case with many clubs. Jay, who is 40, says he understands why young men say they are too busy with work and family to add Lions to their plate. But he also sees this as the time in his life to be involved with helping others. This is the key age as I see it," he says. "You need to spend time with your young kids, and the Lions offers a bit of direction. It's an opportunity to show your kids right in front of their face the value of community and volunteering. We came here in search of a tighter community, and we were lucky. There's strength in community. Lions don't get recognized often, but they make everything happen. It's because they make helping a priority." And next, another feature article titled "Kindness Mattered to the Man in the Bow Tie." And this is a tribute to International First Vice President Judge Haynes Townsend. In the fall of 2019, the video team at Lions Club's international headquarters sat down with First Vice President Judge Haynes Townsend to begin capturing footage for his presidential videos. "We interviewed the judge, his family, and those who knew him well. On December 17, 2019, VP Townsend passed away unexpectedly. What follows is a portrait of the man as was recorded by his family, friends, and himself during these interviews. He will be greatly missed by his family and by his extended Lions family." As a judge in the Whitfield County Magistrate Court in Georgia, Haynes Townsend, 64 years old, often saw people on their worst days, people being evicted from their homes or charged with stealing food. He knew these were not bad people, but people in bad circumstances. One day, he was faced with a young woman in her early 20s with 3 children in tow, ranging in age from 3 or 4 down to an infant in her arms. She had been charged with shoplifting in Walmart. "I'd like to plead guilty," she said. He asked her what she had shoplifted. "Baby food and diapers," she responded. She had just moved to the area from Kentucky, and her husband left her shortly after they arrived. She couldn't afford childcare, which meant she couldn't get a job, so she had no money. Judge Townsend dismissed the charges against her and asked her to wait for him in back until he was finished with court for that day. He then contacted local shelters, which gave her a place to stay and food to eat. It's what he loved about the job, being able to help people solve their problems. He became good at knowing who was telling the truth and who was leaving something out. But regardless, his motto was always to lead with compassion. I knew it wasn't going to do any good to put her in jail, he said. If you can't put yourself in someone else's shoes, then you can't be an effective judge. Before becoming a judge, Townsend had helped run a hardware store with his mother in Dalton, Georgia, where she instilled in him the importance of working hard. But Townsend never seemed to find life very hard. Growing up in Dalton was a lesson in small-town culture, he said of his hometown, which sits at the base of the Appalachian Trail. As the only child of Clifford and Evelyn Townsend, he was doted on. His father, a pilot and former flight instructor during World War II, taught Townsend to fly at a very young age. I actually soloed when I was 10 years old. They generally don't let you do that anymore, he said. When he wasn't flying with his father or helping his mother at the hardware store, his playmates were the diverse group of neighborhood kids who, like him, lived on the wrong side of the tracks. If they wanted to play baseball, they'd find a vacant lot, mark off some lines, and play. They didn't have umpires, and nobody fussed about the rules. Everybody recognized when they were out, he says. It was that kind of experience that taught us how to get along with each other and how to trust each other. His friends crossed racial and cultural divides, and he credits that for teaching him how to get along with all kinds of people, which has served him well in his career as a lion. Diversity can be termed in many different ways, and it's not all about color. It's not all about religion. It's not all about what country you come from, he said. A lot of it is just about ideas that you have about some of these other cultures around the world and how you react to those, and we have to be willing to accept those ideas because that's how we grow as a species, and that's how we turn into better human beings. After graduating from high school, Townsend attended Young Harris College, a small junior college in the mountains of northeast Georgia, where he met his wife, Donna. He sat next to her at a showing of Night of the Living Dead at a theater on campus. I had bubble gum in my mouth, and I was blowing bubbles, said Donna. And I had the biggest bubble, and Haynes reached over, and he popped that thing. It went all over my face, and I thought, okay, this relationship is over with. But it wasn't. It was the beginning of a 40-year marriage. We've been partners ever since, says Townsend. Donna describes a man who loved to joke around, but who also loved to take long, quiet drives in the country. Sometimes we would just get in the car and drive through the mountains for 3 or 4 hours, and we didn't even have to say anything, she said. He loved photography and reading and seemed to be an infinite well of knowledge. She was certain there weren't too many folks like him. The couple had 2 daughters, Morgan, 36 years old, and Madison, 32, who learned the importance of kindness from watching their father. Madison recalls a time when she was young and the family was going out to eat. There was a man outside asking for help, and her father asked the man to join them for lunch. I was just kind of in shock, she said, but she was also in admiration of him. Every time I see something like that, someone needing food or just help, I think back to that day. Morgan remembers when her cousin had her first child and her father went to the hospital to see her and the new baby. She's a brand new mother, and my dad was carrying this tiny little baby around, helping to change his diaper because she didn't know what she was doing yet. Not only did he show kindness to others, but to his daughters, too. He supported them in all their endeavors, teaching them to go after whatever they wanted and to go at it full force with open arms and a humble heart. Kindness was something he lived. He truly believed the world could be a better place if people were kind to one another. That's what we have the ability to do as lions, he said. Unleash that kindness onto the world. Townsend joined the Dalton Noon Lions Club in his hometown shortly after he and Donna were married, and Donna began attending events shortly thereafter. "I thought, I'm never going to see this guy if I don't get out there and go with him," she said. He sponsored her when women were legally allowed to join, and she has never looked back. "Haynes took me from a quiet little town in Dalton, Georgia, with a population of 35,000, to millions and millions and billions of people around the world. Who gets to do that?" In addition to being a Lion, Townsend was also part of Dalton First United Methodist Church, the Downtown Dalton Development Authority, and the Dalton Christmas Parade. Most recently, he was nominated for Judge of the Year by the state of Georgia. "If you go around town anyway, they know Dad," says Madison. "He'll see somebody walking down the street when they're going out to get lunch or going out to get to the grocery store, and he'll take 5 or 10 minutes out of his day just to catch up with a friend he hasn't seen in forever," she said. He made time for people. It was his way of showing he cared. "My dad has never known a stranger," said Morgan. "If he meets someone, they're friends forever. He loved to be a part of the community. But he was truly passionate about the mission of the Lions. And more importantly, he believed in Lions themselves. He urged Lions to invite prospective members to service events, not to meetings. The millennials and the new folks out there don't really want to come to a club meeting that's boring and sit in there for an hour and a half or 2 hours and listen to old stories," he said. "They want to do something. They want to get out there and have interaction in the communities and feel like they're helping somebody." He knew that people came to Lions from all walks of life, and that made the organization stronger. "I think that's the best thing we can do, be willing to accept what they're willing to give and know their glass may not be 100% full of Lionism. But if it's 50% full, we need to drink of that." Townsend spent more than 40 years as a Lion, and he would have made an exceptional international president. "He picks up phone calls when you need him, no matter what time, what country you're in. He is there if you need him," says Morgan. "And I know that he cares about every single person that is part of this association because we see it. The influence he has had on others is reflected in the love they give back. As he struggled through illness over the past year, Lions all over the world reached out. The entire organization has been shaken by his sudden loss. But the fact that he is gone doesn't diminish the impact he has made and can continue to have through others who follow the example he has set. Saying goodbye to a friend is never easy. Maybe it might help to think of him as always just a phone call away." In his own words, "Lions, it has been a privilege having served up until this point. I hope any time you think you need someone, whatever it is, feel free to call. It might be a while before I can call you back, depending on which part of the world I'm in, but keep up the kindness. Keep doing good, great things. God bless you all." Okay, and next we're going to move to our LCIF department, our LCIF Impact Department, a blueberry orchard for generations. Next door to the Albany Victory Gardens in Albany, New York, were unsightly deserted lots. There were homes on the land that were previously declared uninhabitable, so they sat empty, dangerous, and unbeneficial to the environment. Lion Gregory Sheldon envisioned a better use for this land. He partnered with Albany Victory Gardens, which purchased the land, demolished the homes, and, along with local organizations and community members, Sheldon cleared the land of debris and invasive vegetation to start a community garden. Specifically, he wanted to grow blueberries. This garden became part of a larger community project, a place where the neighborhood now comes together to share gardening knowledge, grow food, volunteer time, bridging social, economic, and diversity gaps. It is a vital part of the neighborhood, and it enables self-reliance and access to nutritious food in an underserved area. But first, the land needed to be prepared for growing blueberries, so Sheldon enlisted volunteers to help local companies spread wood chips, mulch, and soil. using a $1,500 grant from a partnership between the Anthem Foundation and Lions Clubs International Foundation, or LCIF, the Albany Troy Lions Club, which is actively investing in community health equity, food sovereignty, and social justice, planted 200 blueberry bushes alongside Anthem volunteers and other community members. Blueberries were the perfect fit for the gardens. They're high in nutritional value and antioxidants. The bushes attract pollinators such as bees, which will increase the amount of blueberries and other produce harvested from the garden. The sandy loam soil is designed to absorb water, reducing stormwater runoff by up to 100,000 gallons. At the same time, the sandy loam provides good drainage and will help purify the air along with the plants. All of this on land that was once occupied by empty, uninhabitable houses. Thanks to LCIF, the Anthem Foundation, Albany Troy Lions Club, Lion Gregory Shelton, and the incredible community volunteers, this neighborhood now has a beautiful orchard they can care for and enjoy for multiple generations. All the kids that worked hard to develop this site will be able to share these blueberries with their kids. This is truly what we do, says Sheldon. To learn more about how LCIF and Campaign 100 are protecting the environmental health of our global communities, generating long-term positive ecological impact, you can visit lionsclubs.org/campaign100. And again, that's lionsclubs.org/campaign100. And we have just a little time left for club news, so we're going to start with Michigan. Members of the Portage Lions Club in Michigan drove to Ohio and delivered plastic pill bottles to Matthew 25 Ministries. Roughly 396 gallons of pill bottles collected by Lions in District 11B2 were kept out of landfills. Florence Evening Lions Club President Waylon Hilly pinned the Lions badge on granddaughter Lion Natalie Sheely. As a child, she accompanied him to meetings, fundraising events, and Lion activities. Sheely told her grandpa she wanted to be a Lion someday. She is the Leo Club Advisor at West Florence High School in South Carolina. The Boise Bench Lions Club, Lions in Idaho staffed the Found Kids booth at the Western Idaho Fair, where 1,290 kids got a numbered armband as Lions recorded the contact information for their parents or guardians. If a child got separated from their adults, he or she could go to security staff or any vendor who would take them to the Found Kids booth. The Doylestown Lions Club in Pennsylvania is planning a dinner to celebrate their 75th anniversary in the spring of 2020. Over 75 years, the club has become entrenched with the community, supporting various organizations. The club began with 20 members in 1945, and by the 1970s had grown to include 150 active members. And finally, in Texas, the Brazoria Lions Club was visited by Erin Heath, who came to thank members for sponsoring her in this year's Lions Diabetic Camp. Because of the camp, she says, she no longer feels like she is fighting diabetes alone. And we are out of time for today's episode of Lions Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And again, that's ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. And again, 919-832-5138. Have a wonderful day.